They took the apostles and put them in jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail. He led the apostles outside and said, "Go and stand in the temple. Tell the people everything about this new life." When the apostles heard this, they obeyed and went into the temple. It was early in the morning and they began to teach. The high priest and his friends arrived. They called a meeting of the Jewish leaders and all the important older men of the Jews. They sent some men to the jail to bring the apostles to them. When the men went to the jail, they could not find the apostles. So they went back and told the Jewish leaders about this. They said, "The jail was closed and locked. The guards were standing at the doors, but when we opened the doors, the jail was empty." Hearing this, the captain of the temple guards and the leading priests were confused. They wondered, "What will happen because of this?" Then someone came and told them, "Listen, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple. They are teaching the people." Then the captain and his men went out and brought the apostles back. But the soldiers did not use force because they were afraid that the people would kill them with stones. The soldiers brought the apostles to the meeting and made them stand before the Jewish leaders. The high priest questioned them. He said, "We gave you strict orders not to go on teaching in that name. But look what you have done. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You are trying to make us responsible for this man's death." Peter and the other apostles answered, "We must obey God, not men. You killed Jesus. You hung him on a cross. But God, the same God our ancestors had, raised Jesus up from death. Jesus is the one whom God raised to be on his right side. God made Jesus our leader and savior. God did this so that the people of Israel could change their hearts and lives and have their sins forgiven. We saw all these things happen. The Holy Spirit also proves that these things are true. God has given the Spirit to all who obey him." When the Jewish leaders heard this, they became very angry and wanted to kill them. A Pharisee named Gamaliel stood up in the meeting. He was a teacher of the law, and the people respected him. He ordered the apostles to leave the meeting for a little while. Then he said to them, "Men of Israel, be careful what you are planning to do to these men. Remember when Theudas appeared. He said that he was a great man, and about 400 men joined him, but he was killed. And his followers were scattered. They were able to do nothing. Later, a man named Judas came from Galilee at the time of the registration. He led a group of followers too. He was also killed, and all his followers were scattered. And so now I tell you, stay away from these men, leave them alone. If their plan comes from men, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even be fighting against God himself." The Jewish leaders agreed with what Gamaliel said. They called the apostles in again. They beat the apostles and told them not to speak in the name of Jesus again. Then they let them go free. The apostles left the meeting full of joy because they were given the honor of suffering disgrace for Jesus. The apostles did not stop teaching people. Every day in the temple and in people's homes, they continued to tell the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, before we think some more about our story, let's pray together that God will help us to understand and speak into our hearts as we listen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the story that we have just read from your word. But we long not just to hear it, but to understand it. And so I pray that your spirit would speak into our hearts this morning and change us to be more like Jesus. Amen. I'd like to start with a game this morning. So if you are a young person, or if you feel in your heart that you're a young person, please do stand up and come to the front down here. I've got a short game that we're going to do together. I would love your help. Thank you, Sammy. Sophie would love your help as well. Thanks, Emily and Sam. Brilliant, guys. Thank you so much. If you want to bring a parent or a friend with you, grab their hand and drag them up. Are you going to stand up here with me, are you, Ben? Guys on the front row, if you want to retreat for a brief moment, for breathing room, no one will judge you, so you're welcome to do that. Or you can stand there if you feel comfortable. My game is a game of choices. So I'm going to put on the screen a series of choices. It's one or the other. So if you want to choose this choice, you need to move to this side of the room. If you want to choose this choice, move to this side of the room. And then after each choice, we will come back together into the middle. So I hope you're ready. I'm going to put some pretty serious choices up on this board, and I want you to think carefully about what you will choose. First choice, please, Chris. Cereal or toast? Cereal or toast? Make your decision. Which way is it going to go? Well, we've got a pretty even split. Strong showing for Team Cereal, but I think Team Toast looks like the winner. Okay, back to the middle. Back to the middle. Are you ready? Okay, if you're sitting in your chairs, you can be thinking about your answer. Or running across the room, if that suits you better. Second choice, cars or bikes? Cars or bikes? What will we pick? Cars is that side. Head to that side if you're cars. Go that way, go that way. Cars over here, bikes over there. Oh, it's a pretty even split as well. Okay, right, back to the middle, back to the middle. Third choice, spots or stripes? Spots or stripes? I'm wearing my choice. You can guess what I'm doing. Spots this side, stripes this side. I'm going to stand by the microphone, but my heart is over there. Okay. Oh, spots. Clear victory for spots. Controversial team, spots. Okay. Back to the middle. Choice number four. Books or TV? Books or TV? TV's that side. TV's that side. Books this side. Books or TV? Okay. All right. Age split. Older ones, books. Younger ones, TV. Very interesting. Okay. Back to the middle. At last and most serious choice coming up now. Crisps or chocolate? Crisps or chocolate? Crisps. It's a small team who've gone for crisps. Samuel, in the middle isn't both. It's neither. You've got to pick crisps or chocolate. Your team crisps. Team chocolate, run away. That's the right choice, by the way. The right answer. Well, thank you very much. Round of applause for my helpers. You can grab your seat again. Well, some choices, they might be worth thinking about, but at the end of the day, they aren't that important, are they? Nothing really rests on crisps or chocolate. It's important things, but not that serious. You can just pick one or the other. And some choices are easy. It's obvious which one you would pick. For some people, it's clearly chocolate over crisps. But other choices are more difficult. When our friends want us to do something, and we just don't feel it's right. When our parents tell us to do something, and we really don't want to do it. When doing what we know we should do just feels that little bit too difficult to manage. What will we do? Do we choose listening to God or listening to our friends? Do we follow God or do I do what I want? Well, in our reading today, we heard about a choice that Jesus' disciples had to make. Obey God or listen to the people in charge. Obey men or obey God. And it's not always an easy choice. Obeying God comes at a cost. But Jesus is worth that cost. So our story starts in Jerusalem, and it was an exciting time for Jesus' friends, the apostles. Those are the men who had and women who had seen and heard Jesus in the person, and the church had just begun. There was just a little group of believers and in Jesus. But they found that as they spoke to others of this good news about Jesus, amazing things started to happen. And they gathered together in the temple in Jerusalem, and God did amazing miracles through their hands. Now, the people around, they weren't always so sure. These believers in Jesus seemed maybe a little strange and perhaps a little bit frightening. But others listened to this strange message about Jesus and believed it. And loads of people heard about the miracles and the healings, and they brought everyone they knew who was sick, longing just for a shadow to pass over them. But everyone that Jesus' friends touched was healed. Well, the excitement was never going to last, was it? You know, you can be sure if something exciting is happening, sooner or later, somebody else is going to get jealous. And that is how the high priest and his friends in Jerusalem started feeling. What is all of this? All of these people flocking to hear these men teaching about Jesus. This will not do. And so the high priest sends his guards and arrests Jesus' friends. They march them out of the temple court right in front of the people, and they have them thrown into prison. The high priest thought that he could shut Jesus' friends up and stop people hearing about Jesus. But he hadn't reckoned with God. Because in the night, God sends his angel to the prison. He opens the doors and leads Jesus' friends straight back out again. The high priest thought that he could lock up and shut up Jesus' friends. But God is the rescuer. God is the rescuer who is always with his friends. He is always with his people. No matter what they're going to go through, he is present in the lives of his friends. And so his angel leads Jesus' friends right out of the prison to freedom. So what will they do now? You might think they would find somewhere quiet to lay low until it all blows over. Or be glad that they've had a lucky escape. No, because God's angel gives them an instruction. Go and stand in the temple. Tell the people, everyone, about this new life in Jesus. Go back to the temple, the same place you were arrested yesterday, and do exactly the same thing that they arrested you for doing. Tell everyone about Jesus. Tell them there is new life in him. And so they go and do it. You know, you might never meet an angel like the apostles did, but God is the same. God is the rescuer who stands with his people through thick and thin, no matter what they're going through. We can be confident that he is with us, and his purpose is that we share the good news of Jesus. Well, meanwhile, the high priest gathers together the whole of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. There's 70 of the most important rulers, priests, and lawyers in Jerusalem. They gather together dressed in their robes, looking serious and important, wise, powerful. They're ready to deal with this message about Jesus, to squash it out. And the high priest sends the officers of the temple guard to the prison to bring Jesus' friends before them. So the officers head to the prison, but Jesus' friends aren't there. They're missing. The doors are locked, the guards are standing there, but no prisoners. Uh-oh. The officers go back to the council, all 70 of them, wise, powerful, important, all stood there waiting. Missing? How can the prisoners be missing? How can there be no one inside? You put them there yesterday. Next you'll tell us that an angel must have let them out. What is going on? Where can the prisoners have gone? The high priest and his friends are utterly confused. For all of their wisdom and importance, they have no idea what is happening. You see, they thought that God was someone pretty far away. They believed in him, but they didn't think he would do anything. They didn't even believe that angels existed. But God turns out to be a whole lot bigger, a whole lot closer, and a whole lot more alive than they expected. And then someone rushes into the council chamber. Listen, the men you put in prison are standing out in the temple, and they're teaching the people about Jesus. So the soldiers head out to bring the apostles back in, but this time they are not so powerful. Not nearly so strong. No, they are quite afraid. They have to ask ever so nicely if maybe the apostles wouldn't mind just coming with them, if that would be okay. The high priest and his friends, they don't look nearly so wise or so powerful anymore. No, that is because God is the one who is powerful. God is the one who is wise. God is the wise one. He turns what looks wise and powerful to people totally upside down. So Jesus' friends come before the Sanhedrin. They're questioned by the high priest, and he is fuming. No one likes to look silly. We gave you strict orders not to teach in that name, but look what you have done. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You're trying to make us responsible for that man's death. Well, the high priest might have told the apostles not to teach about Jesus, but they know that God has told them to go right on teaching. So what are they going to do? Well, Peter answers, "We must obey God, not men." You can say what you like. We are going to listen to God. You killed Jesus. You hung him on a tree, on a cross, but God raised him back to life. You think you're innocent. You think you've done nothing wrong, but you are guilty before God. You killed Jesus, but God raised him. God raised him up to be the leader and savior. Jesus will change your hearts and your lives and forgive your sins if you will turn to him. Even to his enemies, to the high priest, to the council who put him to death, Jesus offers forgiveness and new life. He offers the Holy Spirit to everyone who obeys him. No one is too far away. No one is too bad to be forgiven by God. But to be forgiven, first you must admit that you've done something wrong. You've been going against God. You need to turn around. So will they? No. No, they are furious. They are angry beyond belief that this Peter has dared to offer them God's forgiveness. They want to have Jesus' friends killed, and they want it now. Jesus is the Savior. He offers forgiveness and new life. Well, Peter and Jesus' friends are standing before the high priest. The council want them killed. And then a man named Gamaliel stands up and he puts Jesus' friends outside. And he says this, "Listen, be careful. If this teaching about Jesus has been made up, then it will fail. It will come to nothing and disappear. If it's of men, it will fail. But if it has come from God, you will not be able to stop it. You will just find yourselves fighting against God. If it's of God, it will be unstoppable." So they decide not to kill the apostles after all. But they don't listen to the message either. Instead, they have Jesus' friends beaten, and they order them not to speak about Jesus anymore. But the plans of God are unstoppable. So what will the apostles do? Will they obey God or will they obey men? Well, they go right on out. They've been put in prison, given an unfair trial and beaten up, and they are celebrating because knowing Jesus was worth it. Knowing Jesus is better by far than any of the threats and beatings and imprisonments that the high priest could throw at them. They carry right on, teaching everyone the good news about Jesus. Speaking about Jesus can be painful. It can be difficult. It can be costly. Our friends might think we're silly. We might be told to shut up and be quiet, or we might just wish that we could fit in with everybody else. But who will we listen to? Will we listen to the people around us? Or will we obey God? How much do we think that following Jesus is worth it? Well, we've seen a difficult choice. Obey God or obey men? But it is a difficult choice where the answer is obvious. God is our rescuer. He is with his people no matter what, through thick and thin, to rescue them. God is the one who is powerful and wise and who rules over everything, despite what it might look like to us. God is our Savior, who forgives our sins and gives us new life if we trust in him. And the plans of God are unstoppable. The good news of Jesus will go out to the whole world. So why follow anyone else? I'm going to hand over to Tim just now, who's going to share a few things. And then